A reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40, when he tells of the triumphant approach to Jerusalem. After Jesus said this, he went on in front of them toward Jerusalem. As he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As you go in, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you why you are untying it, tell him that the master needs it. They went on their way and found everything just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners said to them, "Why are you untying it?" "The master needs it," they answered, and they took it to Jesus. Then they threw their cloaks over the animal and helped Jesus onto it. As he rode on, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to Jerusalem, at the place where the road went down the Mount of Olives, the large crowd of his disciples began to thank God and praise him in loud voices for all the great things that they had seen. "God bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God." Then some of the Pharisees in the crowd spoke to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "command your disciples to be quiet." Jesus answered, "I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will start shouting."
Palm Sunday reflection. Join with those who cry Hosanna. Stretch out the cloaks that mark the royal path. Follow those whose love leads them to follow him. Come, let us worship the King who walks in humility. As Jesus stands above Jerusalem, the fickle crowds are waiting in the streets below. Politics have chosen religion as a weapon. Rome's might is holding its breath, and soldiers are sharpening their swords. Pharisees and Sadducees are on the lookout for young upstarts. The disciples will daily switch between longing hope and fearful apprehension. This is the week of danger. Will we journey with him? Will we watch with him? The fickle crowds are waiting in the streets below. At the start of this Holy Week, we remember today that the crowd shouting Hosanna, but some of whom would be in a few days' time calling out, "Crucify him." And as we go through the week to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and on to Easter, we are given snapshots of Jesus' final moments on earth. And here is one: Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a horse, not in a carriage, but on a beast of peace. In Matthew's account, he writes in chapter 21, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." He'd sent two of his disciples to get the colt. And if anyone asked what they were doing, they were to say, "The Lord needs it." By this time, Jesus was well known and well favored. So the disciples only had to say a sentence like this, and the owners would gladly lend their donkey to be used. He would then come into the city on a peaceful mount, not on a warlike horse. So this would indicate, as commentaries agree, that Jesus here was fulfilling the prophecy and affirming his messianic royalty as well as his humility. This is one of the few times when Jesus' glory is recognized on earth, though I'm sure not by everyone in the crowd. As the crowd shouted Hosanna, as we read in John's account, which originally meant save now, it's speculated that the people actually meant, a lot of them, save us from our Roman oppressors. We sometimes forget when we read through the account of Palm Sunday and on to later in the week, how politically charged the atmosphere was, how the people under Roman rule felt at that time, and they really wanted to be able to break free from those who were dictating their lives. So, although the phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," seems to indicate that Jesus was being recognized as Messiah, people were beginning to think, this perhaps isn't a political thing, it's something else. But days later, a crowd would be shouting, "Crucify him." Perhaps those who had bowed to political pressure or simply turned against Jesus. How quickly in society and the media today can we see how people change their minds, their views, or just, you know, can't they make up their mind about things? People can be swayed one way or the other by strong comments, by all kinds of things. But surely amongst those cheering Jesus on Palm Sunday were those who had heard his teachings, they'd experienced or seen his miracles, had turned their lives around because of him. Those who really recognized who he was. But just like there always is, there were people who were just swept along by the crowd as well. So there was a whole mixture of people. You've only got to walk through London on some occasions, just innocently going about your business, and if there's a march or a demonstration on, you turn a corner and suddenly you're part of the demonstration or the march and you didn't intend to be. And I'm guessing that's kind of what happened here with some of the people. Some of the Pharisees were certainly upset, saying in verse 39, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." To which he replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." We have there another reference to stones. And of course, next Sunday we'll be remembering as the women went to the tomb and saw the stone rolled away. Jesus knew he was establishing God's kingdom on earth. This was not a political situation. There had to be some response. So he said, if nobody else cries out, even the stones will. So I think the crowd who were calling for Jesus' death later that week was a slightly different crowd. Those who opposed him, those who are upset or disturbed by him, troublemakers or those who just misunderstood him. I guess there would have been some of the same crowd on Palm Sunday and on Maundy Thursday as well, but probably different. Those who'd really put their faith in Jesus may have stood around with a crowd shouting, "Crucify him," just seeing what would happen, feeling bewildered by this tide turn, praying for him, but not calling out, just watching. When Jesus told the parable of the seed sown in four different soils, perhaps he was indicating or foreseeing these different sets of people. Those seeds sown among the path are like those who hear the gospel, but it doesn't take root and they can't accept or understand it. The seeds sown on rocky places were those who heard God's word with joy, because they had no root, it didn't last. Seeds sown amongst thorns were like those whose faith had started well, but it was choked by the cares and worries of this life and in the end just withered. But the seeds sown in good ground were like those who heard the word, accepted it, nurtured it, and produced fruit in accordance with their faith. All of these kinds of people were represented amongst the people at Palm Sunday and the people later in the week. Even amongst Jesus' own disciples, there would be different reactions to what was going on. In John's account of Palm Sunday, in chapter 12, verse 16, we read, "At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him." Later on, John, Matthew, and Peter wrote gospels or letters recording Jesus' life and the time they spent with him. And they had by then the benefit of hindsight. They had come through the whole thing, all the excitement, the highs, the lows, the worries, the anguish, Jesus' death and resurrection, and then the start of the early church. And they were able to say much later in their life, this is how things unfolded. But at their time, they couldn't quite get their heads around what was happening. They were scared, they were worried, they were perhaps scared, as Peter would be, that he would be arrested too. And we'll remember later in the week that Peter even denied knowing Jesus because he was worried for his own safety. So this can be a reminder to us not to be complacent in our own faith, superficial or quiet when we should be speaking up. As Paul later wrote to the church at Corinth, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Our faith will be tested from time to time, as the disciples' faith was tested. And it will be to different degrees. Are we ready to be tested, to be tried from time to time? And just to conclude, another reflection called Not the End. "To the city on a donkey, Jesus came one sunny day. People shouting, no one doubting, Jesus Christ had come to stay. But the cheering turned to jeering, and the gladness turned to sadness when they took our Lord away. In the temple, an example of the evil men he made them angry, filled with envy, and their hatred on him stayed. So they took him, friends forsook him, then they tried him, crucified him, in a tomb his body laid. But our story ends in glory, for his death was not the end. New life springing, new hope bringing, now he's everybody's friend. Every Sunday, Christ is risen. Every new day, life is given. On his love, we can depend."